DW.
Yeah, so this is our walk-in cooler, and we were in here riding out the storm. It was the safest place for us out here on the farm. The derecho came so fast.
Grant Shadden acts as the farm production manager at Red Earth Gardens, a 40-acre regenerative agriculture farm on the indigenous Meskwaki Nation's settlement in rural Iowa. Grant's normally a pretty calm guy, but that day, in August of 2020, hiding from a storm unlike any he could remember, in a claustrophobic steel box with his crew, he was scared.
And then the barn roof, we had half of that rip off and flip over onto the other half, and we lost both of our mobile chicken coops, and yeah, it was pretty intense.
Okay.
After the skies cleared, Iowans learned they'd experienced a derecho storm, which everyone seemed to pronounce differently.
We do have an incoming storm. It does be a whopper.
Derecho translates to straight ahead, and the storm indeed brought sudden 225-kilometer-per-hour winds straight through a wide swath of the Midwest. At Red Earth, the storm collapsed crucial greenhouses. Across the region, the derecho flattened 10 million acres of crops and knocked out power for 500,000 people. At $11 billion, it was the costliest thunderstorm in recorded U.S. history and did more damage than 9 of the 10 hurricanes that made landfall in 2020.
Yeah, we're good. We lost the window.
As the Earth's surface warms and the atmosphere becomes increasingly unstable, the frequency of severe storms like the derecho increases. And climate change's many other impacts compound to make agriculture more vulnerable to these storms. Last summer, Meskwaki farmers endured months-long severe droughts, only to be doused in incredible rainfalls that couldn't infiltrate the hard soil. The derecho destroyed so many of the Meskwaki settlement's trees that winds could then blow unbuffered, erosion worsened, and pollen from nearby conventional farms could easily contaminate traditional flint corn crops. Seasons have begun to fluctuate, too.
At least in the last 5 years or so, maybe a little bit longer, I've been noticing that it's getting harder to sort of determine when to put the crops in the ground and when to expect a harvest.
That's Stephanie Bad Soldier Snow, a member of the Meskwaki Nation and a traditional farmer. She helped found the Meskwaki Food Sovereignty Initiative in 2012. The cornerstone of the initiative is the settlement's farm, Red Earth Gardens. The project seeks to preserve traditional Meskwaki agricultural practices, reduce the settlement's dependence on outside food sources and government support, and distribute healthy local food to the community.
Food sovereignty is really about our cultural survival and ultimately our identity as traditional Native people. The focus is really on nutrient-dense food, and the hope is that everyone has access to that.
After the derecho, viewed by many as an isolated event rather than one representative of increasingly extreme weather, Iowa's conventional farmers went right back to the way of growing crops that they know, one that involves repeatedly tilling the land with heavy machinery and applying fertilizers, herbicides, pesticides, and fungicides to grow vast monocultures of trademarked soybeans and ethanol corn as commodities.
That's the Hagi STS-12, so it carries 1,200 gallons of water herbicide mix, and the spray boom is 120 foot wide, so we can spray about 80 to 100 acres an hour.
Rob Ewald's farm is what you think of when you picture a farm operation in the Midwestern United States. Red barn, 1,500 acres of corn and soybean row crops, 250 acres of cow pasture.
Hey, old boy.
Rob sees himself as a conventional farmer. He's a barrel-chested guy with a friendly face and a goatee. He's implemented no-till methods and cover crops across his farm over the past 15 years. However, he doesn't want to call what he does sustainable agriculture. Rather, he thinks of changing his practices as an inevitable adaptation to protect his most valuable asset, his soil. And none too soon. he can tell climate change has arrived in the Midwest.
Our weather patterns are changing. There's no denying it. We're seeing difference is in the amount of rainfall we get. The extremes seem to be more extreme, if sure. That makes sense.
Rob's farmed here along the Mississippi River his whole life. He's aware that the conventional agriculture system that dominates Iowa needs to change. It pollutes the air, contaminates waterways, and destroys rich topsoil that's accumulated over generations. But the status quo system is rigid and inflexible, and it's hard to convince farmers to drastically alter their currently lucrative practices to follow in his footsteps.
You know, I think over the next few years it's going to be kind of tough if prices stay up like this. Farmers have a lot of money, and it's when farmers have money, it's hard to get anybody to change. That's the problem. When times are tough, everybody's looking for a different way to farm.
But on the timescale of soil, which only regenerates an inch every 100 years, incremental change prompted by necessity might be too little, too late. 2 hours away, back on the Meskwaki settlement, adaptation isn't an afterthought. Something to do when times get bad. It's a core concept. The farming that happens at Red Earth Gardens looks very different from the kind you see across most of Iowa. It focuses on resilience.
The more healthy you can get your soil, the more resilient the plants can be.
The farm combines a grounding in Meskwaki land use ethics and indigenous food sovereignty with permaculture methods. The farm very intentionally cultivates a sense of connection to the earth that provides our food. There's no sense of dominating the land, subjugating it to the farmer's will.
Conventional agriculture is really about identify something and then kill it to get a yield, where we're trying to partner with nature and cultivate and steward the soil and the water and the air.
Grant's doing his best to build back stronger after the derecho's devastation. He's begun planting natural windbreaks to replace the trees lost to the storm. He tells me a 9-meter-tall tree can protect 90 meters of the farm behind it from wind. With any luck, those moves will minimize future storm damage to the farm's crops and structures. As the climate continues to change and make agriculture more difficult, though, Stephanie thinks drawing on indigenous knowledge and care for the earth will also become increasingly important.
We're an underrepresented group that has a completely different perspective than the rest of the U.S. population. Our ecological practices traditionally were designed to preserve and to mitigate the overuse and depletion of resources. I think that is probably more valuable than it's given any attention for.
To anyone looking out over the vast expanses of corn and soy that cover Iowa today, conventional agriculture may seem natural and inevitable, but it isn't the only way. 1,000 years before the first plows broke the Midwestern prairie in the 1830s, indigenous people practiced regenerative agriculture here. For conventional farmers trying to adapt to a more unpredictable climate, the Meskwaki mindset of land stewardship and sustainability may be an instructive example. For DW, I'm Christian Elliott in Iowa.
DW.